Thank you, folks, for your patience. I'm sorry for running a little bit late. Our pre-meeting went a little longer than expected. The March 19th regular meeting of the Chatham County Savannah Metropolitan Planning Commission will now come to order. We will pause for the Pledge of Allegiance. So please rise.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, and please be seated. For staff, petitioners, and members of the public who are participating, our procedures will be as follows. The agenda is broken down into several parts. First, notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments. Next, the consent agenda, which consists of items for which the applicant is in agreement with the staff recommendation and there are no known objections. This will be followed by regular business, old business, and adjournment. For each agenda item on regular business, the staff will make a presentation. The staff presentation will be then followed by a presentation from the petitioner, should they elect to do so. The petitioner will be allotted a time frame of no more than 20 minutes. The board may then ask questions of the petitioner or staff for clarification. Afterwards, the floor will be open for public comment. If you wish to comment on the item that the board is considering at the time, members of the public that are in person must fill out a blue speaker card and give it to staff. If you're participating virtually, use the raise your hand feature on your screen. Do not use the feature until the item you want to comment on is being considered. At the appropriate time, you'll be recognized and staff will unmute your microphone. At the end of your allotted time, as determined by the chair, your microphone will be muted and the chair will recognize the next speaker. The total public comment time will be less than or equivalent to the petitioner's presentation time. Therefore, for those participating online, it is important that you use the raise your hand feature during the hearing on that item if you want to speak on a petition. Once the floor is closed for public comment on a petition, no additional public speakers will be allowed. If you are not certain that you want to speak, still use the raise your hand feature, or if in person, fill out the speaker card. You will have the option to decline when your name is called. After public comment, the petitioner will have the opportunity for rebuttal and then address any additional needed questions by the board. Finally, the board will take action. So, before we approve the agenda, we have one item on the agenda. Ms. Wilson, have we heard back on the item that we were considering continuing? We heard from the petitioner, sorry. Okay. The item that we were discussing, clarification on
9965 and 202 Shipyard.
Yes, Mr. Dykes
is present.
Is your client willing to continue this?
We are willing to continue it. I would like to address the efforts we've made since the last meeting to work with the county.
Okay, then we will keep it on the regular agenda.
Okay.
Noah, motion to approve the agenda.
Stephen, second.
All in favor? Any opposed? All right. Next, we move to notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments. Number one, March 19, 2024 Finance Committee meeting occurred this morning in the Jerry Cernsey Conference Room at 112 East State Street. Do we need a treasurer report for that or no? All right, so we'll move on from there. I also want to acknowledge that we have a new board member up here. Mr. Stephen Plunk has joined the MPC board. We're happy to have him here. It will help us keep our quorums more consistent than they have been. So thank you for joining us. Next, we move on to items requested to be removed from the final agenda. Number two is special use permit to request to permit alcohol sales in a managed food hall at 2517 Bull Street. Number three, special use request to have alcohol sales and a managed food hall at 2517 West 42nd Street. Number four is a recombination subdivision of Warren Ward, 301 East Bay Street. Number five is comprehensive plan future land use amendment for 4801 Medding Street. Number six is hotel development overlay text amendment, NUZO, section 7.13-1. Number seven is historic district height text amendment, NUZO, section 7.8-4. Do we have a vote on the items to be requested to be removed from the final agenda?
Noah makes motion to remove items requested.
2 through 7.
2 through 7. I can't see it on my screen. Sorry.
Steven, second.
All those in favor?
Uh-huh.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Then we will move on to items requested to be withdrawn. There are none, so we'll move on to the consent agenda. Number 8 is approval of the February 27, 2024 meeting minutes. Number 9 is a major subdivision, Cobblestone Phase 2, Bush Road and Little Neck Road intersection. Number 10 is major subdivision, Brookline Phase 3, 690 Highlands Boulevard. Is there anyone from the public here to speak on any of those items? All right, then I will open the floor for a motion.
No one makes motion to approve consent agenda.
Do I have a second?
Stevens, second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, motion carries. Number 8, old business. Number 11, map amendment. Request to rezone from R2EO to PRAEO at 9965 Ferguson Avenue and 10001 Bethesda. That is Z-0823-000406.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the board. Edward Morrow, Director of Development Services here at the MPC. This is a petition that has been brought before the board several times, and the hope was for disposition of this matter today. Just to kind of refresh everyone, this is a parcel, actually a couple of parcels located at the intersection of, it's near Ferguson, and I believe this is Lehigh. It's not far from the Kroger, headed towards Skidaway. And this was a non-conforming landscaping business use that was requested to be brought into compliance, in association with a code enforcement action. Request is to go from R2A, which is a residential two-family zoning district, to a planned residential agriculture district to properly establish this use. Again, this is a request that has been presented a few times. Staff's position has not changed on this. These are the staff recommended conditions that you can see on your screen right now. At this point, I'd just like to allow the petitioner an opportunity to update the board on where he is with speaking with the county on vacation of the unopened Lehigh Avenue right-of-way.
Thank you. Don Dykes, Dykes Law Group. I represent Mr. Glenn Brist, who's the petitioner. Like Mr. Morrow said, we've been here a number of times. The most recent time was on February 6th. At that time, y'all asked that we go back and work with the county on resolution of the unopened road that we had requested be closed. Since that date, I've had 4 emails that I've sent to the county attorney's office. On February 8th, like 2 days after the meeting, we sent a request with a bunch of documents. Followed up on February 21st, the response from the county attorney's office on February 21st was they were trying to get the county attorney to bless it. I followed up on March 8th to see if that blessing had come. There was no response. Followed up again on March 18th, and that was yesterday, still no response. So 4 times I've emailed since that time, and we just don't have a response. There's no indication that they wouldn't approve, but there's not a response.
Mr. Chair, I'd request that this be continued. I understand that the petitioner is awaiting response from the county. We will ensure that that response comes in timely, and we can continue it. I want to make sure we just get cleared up, and we'll have a response back to him by the next time it's posted for the agenda.
I second that motion, Noah.
Before we get to that point, I'd like to make sure we don't have anyone here to speak from the public. Is there anyone from the public here? I don't have any blue speaker cards up here, so. Okay, so the motion has been made and seconded. We will take a vote. Ms. Amick?
Yes.
All right. Ms. Bowles?
Yes.
Mr. Irvin? Oh, he's not here. Ms. Jarrett?
Not here.
She's online. She's online.
Yes.
Thank you. Mr. Kegler?
Yes.
Mr. Melder?
Yes.
Mr. Noah?
Yes.
Mr. Intrica?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Stevens?
Yes.
Mr. Welch?
Yes.
Mr. Wywoody?
Yes.
I too vote yes. So motion carries. It'll be continued. Do we need a date certain on that, or can we have a?
That's due on
The next meeting will either be April 9th or April 30th, but you do need to pick a date certain.
I will send back over and make sure we got that time, because I don't want them to come back and we hadn't had a resolution to it.
So would you like then for it to be April 30th then, to make sure that you've got plenty of time to take care of this?
We can continue it without a date certain, can't we?
No, you need to continue it with a date certain. Well, that's why you can pick the 9th or the 30th.
The 30th.
Okay, thank you.
All right, so that will be 4:30. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is regular business. And we have item number 12, map amendment request to rezone from R2EO to BNEO. And that's at 202 Shipyard Road. And that is Z-0923-000412.
Good afternoon again, Mr. Chair, members of the board. This is Edward Morrow. This is a petition to rezone the subject property at 202 Shipyard Road. Again, also a code enforcement action on behalf of Chatham County to take the subject property from R2, which is a residential two-family zoning district, to BN, neighborhood business, to bring a long-standing non-conforming use into zoning conformance. MPC staff actually request that this petition also be continued in association with county code enforcement action at 9965 Ferguson.
Did Mr. Dykes want to speak on this one as well? Will you just state that for the record of the mic? Thank you. And restate your name.
Yes, again, Don Dykes for the Zippers. There's no objection to continuing it.
Okay. Do we have any public comment on that end? All right. Entertain a motion.
Noah makes motion to continue to 30th. April 30th to give the county time to work the details out.
Oh, second.
All right. We have a motion and a second. Ms. Amick?
Yes.
Ms. Bowles?
Yes.
Ms. Jarrett?
Yes.
Mr. Kegler?
Yes.
Mr. Melder?
Yes.
Mr. Noah?
Yes.
Mr. Natrika?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Stevens?
Yes.
Mr. Welsh?
Yes.
Mr. Wywoody?
Yes.
And I too vote yes, so motion carries. That will be continued to April 30th.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next on the agenda is item number 13. It's site plan with variance for off-street parking variance at 200 International Trade Parkway. That's SP-0224-000440.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, board members. My name is Brad Clement on behalf of Development Services here at the MPC. I'd ask that the staff report and associated exhibits be entered into the record. The case before you is the approval of a specific development plan with a variance. It's for the expansion of an existing warehouse use with a reduction in required parking. The rationale stated for the request for variance is the square footage does not coincide with an addition of employees or other requirements associated with parking.
Is the petitioner here to speak on this? Are there any questions from the board? And no questions from the public? God, if it keeps going smoothly like this, that'll be great. All right, we'll open the floor for a vote. Or for a motion, sorry. Will you move the screen for the recommendation, please?
Absolutely. My apologies. I'm going to have to go back to the staff report for this. MPC staff recommends approval.
Noah makes motion to approve staff's recommendation of approval.
Why would he second?
It's been properly moved and seconded. We'll go to a vote. Ms. Amick?
Yes.
Ms. Bowles?
Yes.
Ms. Jarrett?
Yes.
Mr. Kegler?
Yes.
Mr. Melder?
Yes.
Mr. Noah?
Yes.
Mr. Natrika?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Stevens?
Yes.
Mr. Welsh?
Yes.
Mr. Wywoney?
Yes.
And I too vote yes, so motion carries. Thank you. Next on the agenda is item number 14, site plan with variance, front setback variance and parking variance at lot 6 Gamble Road, and that is SP-0224-000449.
Members of the Commission, Brad Clement again on behalf of Development Services. I'd ask that the staff report and associated exhibits be entered into the record. I promise I'm not repeating myself. This is a site plan with a variance attached for the expansion of existing warehouse use with a reduction in parking and setbacks to the east and front, which would be an encroachment on Gamble Road. Staff approves or recommends approval of this variance as it is exactly the same as the previous case, except for an order of magnitude.
Thank you. Is the petitioner here to speak? All right. Anyone online? Nope. All right. We'll open the floor for a vote. Or sorry, motion. Open the floor for motion. Or is there any staff questions or petitioner's not here? Or does they're here, they don't wish to speak.
Thank you. No one makes motion to approve staff's recommendation.
Both second.
Approval.
It's been properly moved and seconded. We'll go to a vote. Ms. Amick?
Yes.
Ms. Foles?
Yes.
Ms. Jarrett?
Yes.
Mr. Kegler?
Yes.
Mr. Melder?
Yes.
Mr. Noah?
Yes.
Mr. Natrika?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Stevens?
Yes.
Mr. Welch?
Yes.
Why, Winnie?
Yes.
And I too vote yes. Motion carries. Thank you. Next is item 15, site plan with variance, maximum permissible height for apartments variance. That's Point Grand, Canebrake Road, and Ogeechee Road. And that's SP-1123-000425.
Brad Clement, Development Services. I'd ask that the staff report and corresponding exhibits be entered into the record. This differs slightly from the previous as it is a general development plan, not a specific site development plan, which means that there could be changes in the future, but to keep the process moving forward with the County Engineering Department and other associated departments, this is the first step to get us to there. The variance ask is for a height increase on the apartment structures, the multifamily development on site. The limit in the county is 36 feet. This is an increase to 41 feet, 3.5 inches. You see on your screen the height difference illustrated there. You have seen this general development plan before, and one iteration or another, it has previously been approved by this board. It has since refined itself, and it's back in front of you again for the same purpose. Staff recommends approval so that this can move forward.
Is the petitioner here to speak on this? Please come forward and state your name for the record.
Good afternoon. My name is Kyle Webb. I'm here to speak on behalf of item number 15 on the agenda, and I represent Hill Point.
Pardon.
Oh, yeah, there you go. I filled out too, just in case.
Gotcha. So.
like Brad said, we've been before the board before on a rezone hearing, so we've gone through that step. We're here requesting general development plan approval with the requested variance for height. We like to think that this is in keeping with the general area. We're only asking for 5 feet to account for the pitch in the roof. Since the site plan you've seen before has been modified after meeting with the county, discussing the canal that bisects the property, so we've adjusted the site layout plan for stormwater to accommodate the needs there, and we've pulled the apartments more up to the Ogeechee Road frontage and left the townhomes and the duplex smaller residential structures to the rear closer to Canebrake and the George Byer easement back in that side of the property. So minimal change moving forward with the engineering aspect of this project. So we hope you like what you see, and we're available for any questions.
Are there any questions of staff or the petitioner? I have a Andrew Rosen here. You'd like to Come state your name for the record, and you have 3 minutes.
Excuse me. Hello, my name is Andrew Rosen. I want to support the site plan. I just also want to highlight that the buffer that's required there is an obstruction for anyone who might be interested in walking directly to the school, such as students and parents who attend the school. I think it sets up a dangerous situation there where either the parents have to drive their students onto 17 and make two immediate left turns, or students just walk right through the woods. And I'm sure students will do that because I see people do that from my apartment down by Berwick over to the Kroger. They walk through the woods all the time. People are going to take the quickest and easiest path, and I think we should work to make it safer for them. And if there's any way to make that a requirement for this, I'd hate to bring them back for another approval, but I would really appreciate that. And if not, I think that perhaps staff should be directed to look at how the ordinance can be amended such that some hole in the buffer is allowed for this sort of pedestrian access. And I think that would be in line with the goals from the county, specifically land use goal number 4, transportation goals 1, 2, and 5. And I think it's just smart growth in general. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Rosen. I think our staff might have some comments on that.
To address the speaker's comments, as I said, this is a general development plan and it will change. There are ongoing negotiations with the school board with respect to both an easement through the property to the school property, as well as an internal to the site school bus turnaround to avoid the issues that were raised.
On staff, this question for staff, has there been any discussions on sidewalks?
Yes, that the pedestrian travelway with the engineering department, those are also part of the influx discussion with the rollover curbs and all of the emergency access required.
Any other questions from the board for the petitioner or the commenter? All right. And we have Ms. Sandra Grant online. Ms. Grant, are you there?
I'm here.
Ms. Grant, if you'll state your name for the record, and you have 3 minutes.
Sandra Grant. Good morning. Good afternoon. I'm just interested to know, we have property located at 244 Cane Break Road and wanted to know this build or project that you all have going on, how close would it actually be to 244 Cane Break Road and how would it affect us as far as measurements?
Ma'am, this is Brad Clement from Development Services staff. Could you restate the address, please?
244 Cane Break Road.
Ma'am, I do not have the linear measurement in front of me.
Okay. 244 would be, okay, this is at
270. It's over here.
This is Abercorn.
You're in this area, ma'am?
Yes.
So the area most immediately adjacent to you is reserved as stormwater drainage.
Okay.
I will let the developer speak to that. It's his plan.
Okay.
Hi, yes, this is Kyle Webb with the applicant. Yes, ma'am, the area most immediate to Cane Break will remain undeveloped. It is west of the Georgia Power easement, which we have no need or interest in crossing that area. We're actually really prohibited because of wetland and existing storm features. And so the entire development will be completely off of your frontage or off of the Cane Break frontage, or anybody in that subdivision will remain east of the Georgia Power easement, which, if you can see, is kind of the limits of the woods. We're about 300 to 400 feet east of that before we have any of the townhomes, which are the two-story development. So okay. You have a wooded buffer between you and Cane Break.
Okay. Sure. Thank you.
Chair, and just to
just state your name. Sorry. State your name.
Noah.
Thank you.
just for the lady on the line, that all of the water, I know it was mentioned that water retention would be in that area. You're containing all of your runoff water. This would not contribute to any further flooding or I just want to make that sure we're dealing with the same problem on the other cases, and I want her to be assured that.
Are you asking the petitioner or is this question for the petitioner?
No, it's a statement to the lady on the line, and I'm questioning the petitioner.
As part of the specific development plan, those engineering drawings and all of that stormwater retention will be discussed and reviewed at that time. Again, this is just a general development plan.
Thank you. All right, if we have no more questions from the public, is there any discussion amongst the board? All right, I'll open the floor for a motion.
Noah makes motion to approve staff's recommendation of approval for the GDP and the variance for the building height of 11 apartment buildings.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
All right. It's been properly moved and seconded. We'll go to a vote. Ms. Amick?
Yes.
Ms. Bowles?
Yes.
Ms. Jarrett?
Yes.
Mr. Kegler?
Yes.
Mr. Melder?
Yes.
Mr. Noah?
Yes.
Mr. Natrika?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Stevens?
Yes.
Mr. Welch?
Yes.
Mr. Wywoody?
Yes.
I too vote yes, so the motion carries. Thank you. We will now move on to number 16, special use request to have a restaurant with alcohol sales within TC1 zoning district, and that's item 2401, or sorry, at address 2401-2403 Bull Street. That's 24-001093-CA.
All right. Good afternoon again, Mr. Chair, members of the board, Edward Morrow. This is our final regular business item of the day. This is a special use request in the TC. I'm so sorry. The TC1 zoning district. My apologies. At 2401 and 2403 Bull Street to establish a restaurant with accessory alcohol sales. In this zoning district, establishment of accessory alcohol sales would require a special use approved through City Council. You can see an aerial view of the site here at the intersection of 40th and Bull Street. Just to orient you again, here we are across from Brochu's Family Tradition. This is a street view of the site, which was the former home of Back in the Day Bakery. It is a contributing resource within the streetcar historic district. This shows that the requested use is consistent with the future land use map. The site is indicated for traditional commercial use. And just to offer you some definitions, the ordinance clarifies that restaurants deriving more than 50% of their gross annual food and beverage sales from the sale of alcoholic beverages are considered bars and taverns. The request here is for a restaurant. So the assumption is that the requested accessory alcohol sales will be accessory. They will be less than the food and general beverage sales at this location. With that, MPC staff does recommend approval of the request. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions from staff? Is the petitioner here? Please come forward and state your name for the record. You have 15 minutes.
My name is Ryan Williamson, the new owner of the space on Bull Street. Just wanted to been in front of you a couple times on a couple other projects, but we're looking forward to taking over the space and don't really have anything to say.
All right. Thank you. Any questions from the board for the petitioner? Do we have any member of the public here to speak on this? All right. Any discussion amongst the board? Then we will open the floor for a motion.
Motion to approve petitioner's request.
Thank you, Mr. Plunk. Is there a second?
Noah's second.
Thank you, Ms. Nura. It has been properly moved and seconded, so we'll take it to a vote. Ms. Amick.
Yes.
Ms. Bowles.
Yes.
Ms. Jarrett.
Yes.
Mr. Kegler.
Yes.
Mr. Melder.
Yes.
Mr. Noah.
Yes.
Mr. Natrika.
Yes.
Mr. Plunk.
Yes.
Mr. Stevens.
Yes.
Mr. Welch.
Yes.
Mr. Wywoody.
Yes.
And I too vote yes, so the motion carries. Thank you. Next, we go to presentations, which there are none. So we'll move on to other business, number 17, affordability incentive.
I'll just go straight down. All right, Mr. Chair, for public benefit, I'll just note that these are items that are general information presentations to the board. No action will take place by the board with regard to items number 17 and 18 on the agenda today.
Thank you, Ms. Rohr.
Trying to get rid of these. There we go. Okay. So actually, I believe that it would be best if I had city staff to come and present on this particular item. And I will come following city staff in order to add kind of some notes and thoughts regarding how MPC would respond to a future text amendment related to affordability incentives, if that's okay.
I'm sorry, was there a question there? Did you ask a question? I'm sorry.
No, I was just asking if it's okay if city staff comes forward to present.
Absolutely, yes. Thank you.
Staff presentation will follow. Actually, I forgot you have some slides. Okay, there you go.
Good afternoon. My name is Bridget Liddy, and I'm Director of Planning and Urban Design with the City of Savannah. I'm here to talk with you today about a proposal that we're looking at to make to the zoning ordinance, specifically a text amendment to allow more flexibility for affordable housing to be created in our community. The way we were looking at this is one step in a multiple phase process to get the ball rolling to allow for more affordability within our community. So right now what we're looking at doing is within the current language of the ordinance, we are not permitted to, it's letter A, or excuse me, B1, that variances shall not be granted to permit a lot area per unit that is less than the minimum lot area per unit permitted by the zoning district in which the property affected by the variance is located. So that's a lot of words, but what we're looking at doing is adding a provision in red on your screen that would state if you're located in a specific zoning district, and that would be the TC, traditional commercial, TN, traditional neighborhood, TR, traditional residential, one or two, that you could actually get a variance from the development standards in order to support affordable housing. In doing that, that would also include that provision that I just read about the lot area per unit could be less than what is required for the specific zoning ordinance. And so just to kind of refresh everybody, we do have the Zoning Board of Appeals who reviews the variances. They have five key features that they need to look at standards when they are moving forward with making a decision. That's general consistency, special conditions, literal interpretation, minimum variance, and special privilege not granted. When we're looking at verification for the provision of allowing this for affordable housing, typically what occurs when we receive a Zoning Board of Appeals application is that we, the City of Savannah, receive that information, review it, we review it for its completeness, and then send it over to our friends at the Metropolitan Planning Commission, who go ahead and do the review. Prior to sending over the application to the Metropolitan Planning Commission, what our staff will do at City, specifically the housing department, will review the affordable housing requirement, and we will go ahead and have prepared a document that actually will state what those provisions are for affordability for the particular development. Once that occurs, we'll send it over to MPC, as mentioned. MPC will prepare a report, and then that report would potentially go to the Zoning Board of Appeals for consideration. And these are just some slides of the existing principal use table, which highlights two-family and multifamily developments within the context of the different zoning districts that we're talking about. One question that did come up when we were looking at this was how many parcels would this impact? And so what we did is we looked at the different zoning districts that we're talking about and identified the impacted parcels as well as the neighborhoods that would be impacted. And so you can kind of see here from the TC zoning district, there are about 2,000 parcels that would be impacted and where they would be located geographically within our community. And the reason why we're bringing this petition forward is because we have a lot of individuals who own smaller parcels in some of these neighborhoods that are outside of the core downtown area that are having really very difficult time being able to produce multiple units on one parcel where it could potentially occur if we could modify the statement within the context of the ordinance. And so here went ahead and kind of highlighted some of the standards that have to do with the lot area per unit standards. So you can kind of see here for a two family over under, under the TC1 and TC2 zoning district, that would, if they were doing two units, it would be a 3,000 square foot requirement that they would have to comply with. As I mentioned, a lot of individuals who are coming through, their lots don't meet that 3,000 square foot requirement. They're smaller than that. And so we're trying to provide greater flexibility to allow for this to occur. Moving forward in the TN district, these are some of the neighborhoods that would be impacted. You can kind of see that they're surrounding Forsyth Park going further south to Victory Drive. And then the descriptions of the TN districts and then some of the development standards. And then the TR1 districts and where they're located and the neighborhoods that we're talking about. And then the TR2 districts, the neighborhoods where that would be impacted and the description of the TR2 districts. So that's my conclusion of the presentation. I'll turn it over to Mr. Morrow here, and he can kind of talk a little bit about the collaboration that MPC and the city are working on to kind of get this to you all for a final review and consideration. Thank you.
All right. There we go. Okay. So as Ms. Levy stated, this is something that has been an ongoing conversation. And as you all know, we have had several petitions where we have done interesting things in order to accommodate housing in places where it seems like it should not really be a question. I'd just like to first off point out that incentives, generally speaking, are a great idea. And I think we have lots of policy priorities that we could absolutely use this type of innovative thinking and approach in our land use regulations in order to advance some of these things that we're facing. These are just a couple of areas, and obviously the very first one is the one that we're talking about today, specifically housing affordability. And so as Ms. Liddy just stated, the proposed amendment is a text amendment that applies to the TC, traditional commercial, TN, and TR1 and 2, so some in-town neighborhoods that have a very traditional feel about them. In looking at the documents that are proposed in association with this, it includes a restrictive covenant, a land use restrictive covenant that would apply a 20-year term. It identifies what a qualified buyer or tenant is inclusive of. It specifies that the Housing and Neighborhood Services Department would actually be the department charged with determining an applicant's fitness for this. And then finally, it sets requirements that the bonus units be substantially similar in quality. These are all features of the documents that were shared with you that are part of the current proposal. Just to share some concerns briefly, and so at the point that this came back as an actual application for a text amendment, these are the types of things that I would discuss in looking at the appropriateness of this change. The first one is I would reconsider the board that would make such a determination. In looking at the things that this particular board determines, the issues that would be faced in trying to cite some of these uses are those that are regularly determined by this board on this agenda. Changes in density, appropriateness of special uses, criteria for determining the appropriateness you know, of siting of various uses, authority over site plans and subdivisions. And so there is a provision currently within the zoning ordinance under special exceptions that may actually be a more appropriate vehicle, just because we want to send that to a board that has a designated role in the legislative authority of city council. So that would be the first recommendation. The second one being that to remain consistent with federal standards and kind of practice more largely, there should be a reconsideration of the appropriate AMI at which someone would qualify for participation, in essence, and that developers would be responsible for providing housing units at. And so the national standard, they tend to range more so from about 60 to 80%, 80% kind of being the minimum for low income when determined by HUD. There should be a defined cap on the bonus. And so in essence, that would be this board looking at, say, a subdivision, the appropriateness of a particular subdivision that might not necessarily be conforming. And this board is already given the authority to make such a determination. We would like to align the standards for affordable dwellings with the DCA's architectural guidelines. And so you can see highlighted in red, these are minimum dwelling size specifications, among others, that are within the DCA architectural guidelines. And finally, just to make sure that the city is getting, you know, maximum bang for its buck, that there's a designated local agency to track, in essence, the performance of all of these properties that would come within the scope of these provisions. But again, these are all things that through working with city staff, I'm sure that we can come up with a proposal that meets everyone's concerns, in essence. Just to offer some insight, right now the current proposal is 90%, but in pulling HUD's 2023 adjusted income limits, you can see actually the 80% indicated as low income would put someone living in the Savannah area, a one-person household, at $49,450 annually. So just some context to help us think about what affordability actually looks like for a lot of the folks that we would like to see take on these affordable units that we would make provision for. And lastly, kind of an application being that a property that has been under regular discussion recently also falls within this particular district. So one potential use case of a density bonus, as we had been calling this previously, and this is how you end up with a structure that might be a little bit larger, but again, with this added social benefit that the developer has agreed to, say you had a site that was about 1.3 acres in the TC2 zoning district, apartments require 435 square feet of land area per unit. And so for that 1.3 acres, you would end up with approximately 133 units. That would be the maximum total unit count. Taking into account the DCA standards, 435 actually would not be the minimum. It would be 450. For an efficiency, I believe. Just want to make sure. Yes, that's an efficiency, and that would come with a full kitchen. You would actually get 128 units, right? So that would be the realignment of those standards. Taking that 133 units, multiplying it by 20%, assuming there was a commitment to provide a certain number of those units as affordable and deed restricted for the identified buyers and tenants, you would come up with 26. And so 133 plus 26 would give you 159 units on the site. Again, with 26 of those units deed restricted. And you would see that in the form of additional allowances in height in order to allow the developer to achieve the added unit count. So that's just one application that actually is very relevant for this type of petition so that we could, again, move some of our local priorities forward. With that, I am happy to answer any questions that the board may have.
Are there any questions? All right. Well, thank you and Ms. Liddy's work on this. Look forward to seeing the finished product. We'll move on to number 18. And before we get started on item 18, I know we've got Mr. Hudsrucker online. Mr. Hudsrucker, this is merely a presentation. There will be no audience participation. Oh, he's here. Oh, sorry. It says online. Oh, no, you're here in person. Sorry, right behind you. So at this point, we're not taking a vote on this. The board is not necessarily expressing their opinions on this matter. This is now going before City Council next. And this is just a presentation on some of the changes that happened post this body pre the city council hearing.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, Edward Morrow, Development Services. This petition appeared before the MPC in a previous form on November 7th of 2023. And so what we are seeing on your screen right now are revised elevations that were sent to the city manager's office. You can see the view from Broad Street that shows that the two buildings have been connected over the lane. You can also see, if you look at the lower view on East Bolton, you can see the parking garage, which the previously proposed structured parking has been exchanged for a more conventional parking garage. Just to offer some high-level points, again, the proposed development, staff understands that there are still 185 dwelling units on approximately 1.46 acres. Up to 10,000 square feet of commercial space is proposed. The PUD document includes 2,500 square foot parking exemptions for non-residential uses, meaning that only at 2,501 square feet would any non-residential use begin to become accountable for off-street parking. Again, also consistent with the existing zoning ordinance, there is additional credit for off-street parking given for bicycles and motorcycles. The overall height of the proposed development has been reduced to four stories, not to exceed 49 feet. There are still 0-foot front, side, and rear setbacks proposed, 100% lot coverage, and staff's understanding that there is at least one off-street parking space for each dwelling unit, though I do understand that there are more than 185 off-street parking spaces. According to the petitioner's agent, these are the reported changes. They have eliminated the fifth story. They've connected the buildings across East Gwinnett Lane. There is now two-way access via Bolton, which you can see at the tip of my cursor. Reduced height, again, to four stories and 49 feet. They have eliminated the automated parking, and they have reduced the length of the buildings to ensure that the fire department has access and the required turn radius to reach all points of the building. Again, per the petitioner, no changes to the off-street parking and the use standards occurred, and they are still closely aligned to the TC2 district standards. As a brief MPC staff comment, the first comment was made with an understanding that perhaps there had actually been a pivot to DX. It's our understanding that the request is actually for small PD, as was heard by this board. So the proposed development still remains higher in density than is likely appropriate for its surroundings. The reduced height of the buildings with the same number of dwellings likely means that the units are at or near a minimum required size. There is still somewhat of a lack of outdoor amenity space for the residents, and there are vague and conflicting standards that will likely make ongoing administration of this PUD document potentially cumbersome. But with that, staff does conclude comments.
Thank you for that presentation. With nothing else on our agenda, would anyone make a motion to adjourn? Yes, Mr. City Manager.
Could I just make one note about that presentation just for the public's edification? Just kind of a note on the process here and what my request was to NPC staff. This, as stated, this petition came in a different form to NPC. Their NPC staff and this commission voted to deny. Now goes to City Council. Make clear to the petitioner that my recommendation would follow that of the NPC commission. Unless there were changes made that reflected the comments, we received those changes. I asked our planners, which are NPC, to take a look at those changes and provide me any notes that I could also share with council, as they'll have the opportunity to weigh in on whether or not this is a viable project or not. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. City Manager. Do we have any motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn. Plunk.
Second.
Oh, second.
All in favor? All right. Stand adjourned.